Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I tell you, little buddy, this whole island is bewitched.
Remember, we were shipwrecked together. Stranded, I'm so far from home.
Stranded, yeah, I'm on my own. Stranded. Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My co-host is Greg Kot. And if you want to be the first to hear our bonus podcasts, become a Sound Opinions member on Patreon, like Mike Androff. Thanks for your support, Mike. As you know, Greg and I have so much music crammed into our brains, we're always adding another track to the Desert Island Jukebox. That's good fun. But Mr. Kot, I gotta admit, I've been a little envious of you. after all of us being stuck at home for 2+ years with the pandemic, you've been like on a traveling spree. So we got like a little on the road with Greg travelogue
right.
experience bonus this time.
Well, part of the reason for all the travel is all these weddings got stockpiled from, you know, they were supposed to happen 2 years ago and then 1 year ago, and then all of a sudden you get them all. So we had these series of out-of-town weddings that we had to go, one of which sent me to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk a little bit about something that I saw there that I think a lot of people are going to want to hear about.
All right. Well, you have, I think, more friends than me, because the only wedding I've been to is Alex's, our producer's. And I guess she felt she had to invite the boss, you know, you and me. No, it was a joy. That was a joy. But we'll hear about Greg's trip to Tulsa right after this.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know when you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. All right, Greg is back from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I've been there. When the Flaming Lips book came out, I spent a week there one night.
Mm-hmm.
That was a joke.
Yeah, I know. I would say my opinion was similar. Like, you know, I probably wouldn't go to Oklahoma unless, you know, there was a particularly compelling reason to.
No, there were great people there. Don't get me wrong. But I stayed at a hotel across from the Oral Roberts University. And it was all these preachers who were practicing. Yeah. It was a Saturday night. They were practicing their Sunday sermons at top volume in the rooms to the left, right, and above us.
There's that part. But I got to tell you, I was blown away by Tulsa, and there was more stuff that I wanted to see after I left. So Deb and I, my wife, spent a couple days just checking stuff out and going to see things.
Exploring
and, you know,
Tulsa.
Museums, et cetera. And, of course, the Bob Dylan Center was there. So,
right.
I knew I wanted to go see that. What's that all about? And, of course, the Woody Guthrie Center is right up the street. So, of course, we did a twofer in one day. But I want to talk about the Bob Dylan Center, since that's fairly new. Just opened earlier this year. The first question you always get is, why Tulsa?
Well, because of Woody, right?
Well, you would think Dylan has never particularly stated why he decided to sell his archive to a Tulsa-based family foundation. But that is, in fact, what happened. The George Kaiser Foundation bought this in 2016. That's the same foundation that operates the Woody Guthrie Center. So I'm sure that had something to do with it. Anybody who knows anything about Dylan knows one of the reasons, the main reason he came to New York City from upstate Minnesota.
Hibbing.
Duluth area, was to see Woody Guthrie, his hero, who was essentially dying in New York City at the time. So, but he got to spend some time with him and obviously recorded a lot of his music, a huge influence on his life. The Kane's Ballroom is in Tulsa, one of the most famous concert venues in America. That is the site where Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys reigned from about 1935 to 1942. Leon Russell's from Tulsa. Dylan was there recording a track with Leon in the early 70s. That's where Watching the River Flow came from, recorded at Russell's studio there. So anyway, there are plenty of reasons why Dylan may have decided to do this. His enthusiasm for the project, I mean, he never lays all his cards on the table.
He's never super enthusiastic about anything.
But he did create a sculpture that is the first thing you see as you walk into the museum. So it's sort of a doorway, and it's kind of a beautiful piece of art. I have to say it was a terrific experience there. I know the archivist a little bit, and he's a wonderful tour guide for us. An immersive film experience is there. There's a performance space, a studio where visitors can play, you know, mixologist with the different elements of instrumentation in the songs, a curated tour where you can sort of go through different aspects of his career. There's more than 100,000 items there, Jim.
Wow.
Some of them can only be accessed by scholars, and I'm going to touch on that in a minute. You know, when I asked Deb what she loved the most about it, she was really taken with the exhibits that showed Dylan taking us through a song, with, in other words, the lyrics, how they evolved over time. She had never heard Joker Man, for example, one of the tracks from his 80s albums that people generally dismiss. She loved the song. She loved the way it was presented. She loved the way it was presented in terms of how he evolved the lyrics. It was one of those songs that was really worked on by Dylan. He edited and re-edited that song a number of times. That was pretty cool. The other thing that I want to talk about is the behind-the-scenes stuff. There is a ton of Dylan in progress lyrics for unfinished songs, finished songs. On the flip side, of the typewritten version of Subterranean Homesick Blues, one of his most famous tracks. He began working on a track paying tribute to his lady love at the time, Mavis Staples.
Ah, yeah.
So I was
Pops,
very
I
interested
marry
in that
girl.
Right?
Yeah.
And he started working on some lines for Mavis, a song about Mavis.
Wow.
She sings the blues in a long white robe. Here's a couple of lines I'm quoting. I dream she's singing in my sleep. But worse, I wake up thinking that I'm in church. So,
because I don't think his thoughts were entirely pure.
I don't think he was talking
about,
you know, I'm not necessarily a church-going guy. But Mavis is there, so I want to hear that. But it's a fascinating glimpse into his mindset at the time. And I'm thinking, you know, Subterranean Homesick Blues was written around late 64.
Yeah.
This would have been circa that era. Mm-hmm. And it's just great to see what was on Dylan's mind at the time.
Mavis.
You know? These little bits and pieces of information that I thought I knew a lot about Dylan. I learned a lot more going to visit it. So,
well, you
know,
certainly
good reason
know,
to go to Tulsa.
Having written the biography, you certainly know a lot about Mavis. I bet you wish you had that anecdote.
Oh my God!
In
I'm
the
saying,
book,
I need more of this. I need to find more of these kind of things to sort of enhance what was going on between these two incredible human beings in the 60s.
Well, unlike the vast majority of too many podcasts out there, GK, which are a couple of self-important white guys talking at each other, we are a music podcast. pot. So have you got a song to like give us a little taste of in honor Dylan and Mavis?
I there's plenty of that. But I was actually thinking, maybe a little bit of Joker Man, because it's
one of those underrated
tracks. And there's actually an alternate version of Joker Man that exists on one of the box sets that came out subsequently to it. So the track that made the record wasn't necessarily the track that Dylan was initially working on. And the box set sort of gives you a glimpse of a work-in-progress nature of the song. It was more reggaefied in this version, and a number of the lyrics were changed. But it's up to the listener to decide, did he make the right move here? Did he change the lyrics for the better or for the worse? You can be the judge. But I think it's a nice look at what Dylan... And I think the whole thing about a museum like this is it takes you into process. How is a genius artist, what is his process? What path did he take to get to this final goal?
If I were truth so far off, what good will it do? Joker Man danced to the nightingale tune. Bird fly high by the light of the moon. Oh, oh, Joker Man. So swiftly the sun sets in the sky.
Little bit of Joker Man in Work in Progress from Dylan, Greg's trip to Tulsa. Do they have a gift shop at the museum?
They sure do.
And you didn't like bring me a snow globe? You didn't bring me anything?
Well, I wanted to bring you a Woody Guthrie t-shirt, but my daughter claimed it. So,
This Machine Kills Fascists?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I put a record out with that title. Man, Katie Cott, I'm going to have a word with you. That is it for this bonus episode. To support Sound Opinions, become a member on Patreon and connect with other listeners in our Facebook group. As always, Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo, and our intern, Lauren Holt. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott. Thanks for listening.